Hello, I'm Curtis Powers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I really appreciate it. Those watching on all the different platforms, thank you for doing that. We appreciate it greatly. Please like, share, comment, and consider going to agendaweekly.com to become part of what we do and to get all the resources we provide each week. This week is the second part of the interview with Alex Newman, and I'm going to get right into it, but it is going to show from 1999 to today what Red China has been doing to prepare themselves to take over the United States and be the dominant player in the world. But I hope you'll enjoy this, and thank you so much for joining me. So Alex, I'd like now to continue from 1999 to today and forward. What their plans are. In 1999, we became aware of a document called Unrestricted Warfare, where they kind of outlined an agenda of they're going to be at all-out war with us in every way possible except using weapons. And so talk about that for a minute, what that strategy is, some more details of it, and then how that has gone into effect over the last 20-plus years.
Yeah, so the unrestricted warfare doctrine, this was actually put out by two senior Chinese military officials. And, there was widespread recognition among communist Chinese elites. They're evil, they're many things, but they're not stupid. They realized that in a direct confrontation with the U.S. military, they would be absolutely crushed at that time. Now, that was over two decades ago. Things have certainly changed quite a bit since then. But they realized that taking the United States on in a head-to-head military confrontation, even with their allies, and they have plenty of allies around the world, including, incidentally, the Russian government, but even with our allies, was not a feasible plan. And so this unrestricted warfare doctrine was basically everything short of direct kinetic warfare with actual shooting, actual fighting, actual bombs flying and things like this. And so you see so much of it. And most Americans have no idea what they're seeing. You know, they see riots in the street and they think, oh, racial justice is the issue. No, racial justice is not the issue. This is unrestricted warfare. As the Students for a Democratic Society used to say, the issue is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution. So they use subversion. They use indoctrination. They use brainwashing. They use economic warfare. They use biological warfare. I think that the COVID was probably one of their greatest coups ever, right? Done, obviously, with huge collaboration from treasonous elites in Washington, D.C., some of our great universities. I think even Dr. Fauci was almost certainly involved, at least in funding the laboratory that produced this. But this is all unrestricted warfare, basically total warfare, but stopping short of actually getting into a shooting war. And so we see it with the propaganda. We see it with them buying up assets in Hollywood. We see it with them buying up movie chains so that they can control the distribution of movies. We see it with them buying up strategic resources, not just in the United States, but around the world. It's total war, just short of actually shooting firearms, shooting bombs, and launching missiles.
Yeah, no, and it's so clear. Our open border, of course, with the fentanyl pouring in is
part of it. Another great example. That's
yeah,
right.
they know they want us to crumble and collapse from within as much as possible. So whenever the real war starts, we're going to be so weak, so pathetic, so confused that it will be an easy victory for them.
Yeah, so, Curtis, I want to mention one more example. Yes. I can't believe I forgot this. It's so critical for people to understand this. TikTok. Right. Everybody thinks of TikTok as just this harmless social media app. Oh, I wish my kids wouldn't spend so much time on their screen. Folks, this is a weapon of warfare being used by the communist Chinese, not just to gather more intelligence than you could ever possibly imagine, but literally to steer your children into destruction. When children in China use social media apps, it encourages them to become engineers, to become thinkers, to become smart, to work hard. When children in America go to TikTok, it encourages them to cut themselves, to starve themselves, to pick a new gender and pick some new pronouns. So they are laughing all the way to the bank while they're manipulating the minds of your children. And folks, the algorithms are programmed to do this. This is a feature of the system. It's not a bug in the system. It was designed to do this. So when little Chinese kids are using social media, they're learning about the glories of China. They're learning about the wonders of the revolution. They're learning about how their leaders love them so much and how they need to work hard and be good citizens so that China can succeed in the future and continue to alleviate poverty. In America, when they use it, they're learning about how America is an evil, racist, terrible country that should be destroyed. They're learning that gender is fluid and you can pick your own gender. They're learning that to be a man, you should be more feminine and soft and you don't want to be one of the tough guys. And if you're a girl, you should be a butch and a strong. This is all deliberate, folks. It's part of the unrestricted warfare. It's total warfare against every element of our society, and it is on your child's smart devices.
So as they've been doing all those different things behind the scenes, talk for a minute about international organizations and how they've positioned themselves to be the main influencer in things like the World Health Organization, the United Nations, and different groups that have a lot of influence worldwide in deciding the path forward.
Yeah, so this is an area that I have been covering for so long. In fact, my entire journalistic career, I've been covering this, and so many times I said, oh, don't be a conspiracy. Oh, don't be silly. The Chinese don't. Okay, folks, the Communist Chinese now run the machinery of global governance today, and that is no exaggeration at all. Anywhere you look, you have Communist Chinese operatives, if not running the organization itself, then as the leading deputies, as the leaders of the key directorates or agencies within these UN agencies. And now it's starting to become well known. But I can give you some really obvious, clear examples that paint a very clear picture here. So the UN has 15 specialized agencies. Some are more important than others. An American runs one of them. I would say probably the most useless or next to the most useless UN organization. It's the World Food Program. And a guy called David Beasley runs this. And, you know, I know people who know David and they say he's a nice guy and he's a Christian. Okay, great. He's pretty harmless running the World Food Program. Meanwhile, the Communist Chinese are running 5 out of the 15. So 15 specialized agencies to one controlled by an American. Which ones are the Chinese running? Well, you've got the UNIDO, the UN Industrial Development Organization, which is transferring technology from the Western world to China and to the third world dictatorships that are allied with China. You have numerous senior level Communist Chinese operatives running UNESCO, which is, of course, the agency that is set to become the global school board of the planet, right? You actually had, until very recently, a Communist Chinese agent running Interpol, which is not technically a UN organization, but it's angling to become the global law enforcement agency. Already Hollywood propaganda is painting it as kind of like a global FBI to save us from bad guys. You have Communist Chinese running the Food and Agriculture Organization, Ku Deng Yu, who bribed his way with the help of his masters, former Vice Minister of Rural Affairs in China, running the Food and Agriculture Organization. This is the organization that is transforming agriculture policy around the world, helping to wage war and destroy the independent farmers and ranchers of the Western world and what's left of what used to be called the free world. So at every level, you have Communist Chinese agents running the UN. You have them running the UN, the DESA. It's the Department of Social and Economic Affairs. The Undersecretary General of DESA is and has been for well over a decade a Communist Chinese operative. Over and over and over again, you find these Communist Chinese agents in strategic places within the UN. Communist China is now the biggest contributor of, they call them peacekeeping troops, among the members of the UN Security Council. So everywhere you look, they've got them in the World Bank. They've got them in the IMF. Every institution you can think of. Oh, and I mentioned Interpol. I didn't finish there. They had a guy running Interpol, a member of the Communist Chinese Party. He had actually been the Vice Minister of Public Security in China, and he was, you know, running the Interpol. And he went back to China and he was arrested. It was very interesting. What this says about these Chinese agents within the UN tells you everything you need to know. They arrested him. One of the reasons they said publicly that he was arrested was that he was not carrying out party orders. Okay. Every person who goes to work for the UN has to take an oath, right? Like in America, we take an oath to the Constitution. When you go to join the government, state, local, federal, doesn't matter. When you go to the UN, you take an oath that you know, your national interests are now going to be cast aside and you're going to focus on the interests of the world, of the international organization that you're serving. Well, we've got tons of evidence, including this arrest of the head of Interpol, showing that all members of the Communist Party of China who are running UN agencies are expected and commanded to obey the dictates of the party. And I'll give one more example. He's not actually a member of the Communist Party of China, although he may be an honorary member. The guy running the World Health Organization. Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus. He was put into place with the backing of Beijing. That's how he got in. He would not have been in there without Beijing. Now, he may not, again, be a member of the Communist Party of China because he's an Ethiopian, but before becoming a senior minister in the mass-murdering communist regime that enslaved Ethiopia, he was on the Politburo of the Tigray People's Liberation Front, an ethno-Marxist terrorist organization that, in addition to promoting Marxist revolution, wanted to exterminate the Amhara people in Ethiopia. So these are the kinds of people that are running the United Nations and the architecture of global governance, and that is why every time you look, the UN is promoting communism, socialism, hatred of America, a totally alien concept of human rights to what Americans understand as human rights. And I mean, these are just a few very small examples, Curtis. I could go on for hours, but I think I've made the point. So,
yeah, no, it's, and those watching, I mean, just think about that. And I know a lot of you knew that, but we need to be reminded, the COVID experience the last few years, who was the person that was in charge of dictating to the world, here's the policy, and if you have a video on YouTube that goes against the World Health Organization, it will be taken down and you'll be censored. And it's a communist stooge of Red China, who, of course, is going to cover everything they can for the purposefulness behind what was done. And it's just, it's almost humorous, except it's so deadly. And there's so many people suffering because of the consequences of their actions. But you couldn't make this stuff up. People wouldn't believe you if you were just making up some fictitious story and you laid it out the way it really is today. You'd go, oh, that's, people won't believe that.
Yeah, but no, it's true. And Curtis, I want to mention one more agency I forgot while I was giving through my list, and there's tons of these, but this one's really strategic. The International Telecommunications Union, very little known agency, but incredibly significant, because this is the agency that the governments of the world and the United Nations have decided is going to be the regulator, the overseer of the internet. So we have a member of the Communist Party of China. His name is Chao Haolin, or Haolin Chao, depending on, they have the last name and first name reversed. But before he went over there, he was a senior official in Communist China's government. He was at the Ministry of Posts and Telecommunications. Now that's part of the Ministry of Industry and Information. And again, this is the agency that the UN explicitly says is going to be in charge of regulating, taxing, and censoring the internet. And so when he first took his post, when he was first selected, a South Korean journalist actually asked him, said, you know, hey, you're going to run this agency at the UN that's supposed to regulate the internet, but you guys in China, you guys do all this censorship. You have the Great Wall of China. What do you have to say about that? And his response, I've got it quoted right here. I used it in an article that I've published about a year ago. He says, we at the International Telecommunications Union don't have a common interpretation of what censorship means. In other words, censorship's in the eye of the beholder. Don't worry your pretty little head about it. We'll take care of this.
Yeah, it's what we're seeing in America today, where when it's disinformation or misinformation or malinformation, by their understanding, oh, that's not free speech. That's not, we can censor that because it's dangerous. And it's, so no, they'll always come up with a party line for everything that to the naive, ignorant, useful idiot type person, it's, oh, okay, that makes sense. But that's why our job of educating others is so important. So now talk for a minute about their influence in our government with our representatives, our senators, our president, our just the reality of how much influence they have in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, it's very hard to overstate this level of influence. You've got Bushes on the payroll of the Communist Party of China, usually through intermediaries, right? It'll be through a state-owned enterprise that hires a lobbying firm or something. But all you got to do is just trace it back, and you see it is the mass-murdering dictatorship. So they got Bushes on their payroll. They funneled millions and millions of dollars into the Clinton Foundation. They have lobbying firms. They've been funneling millions of dollars to our media company, millions and millions of dollars, to the New York Times, to the Washington Post, under the guise of buying advertorials. I mean, they basically look like articles. And then at the very bottom, it'll say, this was paid for by the China Foundation or whatever. They don't even say it's, you know, a communist Chinese entity. They're in our universities. They are in Hollywood. They're buying banks. They're on Wall Street. The influence of communist China in America, just the known communist Chinese organizations and agents is enormous. When you add to that fact the hundreds of thousands of undercover agents that they have in our country, and this is another topic I've been exploring for over a decade. I did my first major investigation into this for the Diplomat magazine. I think it was in 2010. And what I found was communist China has by far the largest intelligence operation in the world, probably millions of operatives. In fact, their law says any Chinese overseas is expected and must help the intelligence agencies. Now, I want to be clear, that doesn't mean that they all do. In fact, there are many wonderful, hardcore anti-communist Chinese who have literally put their lives on the line to expose this stuff, to fight this stuff, but they have agents everywhere. They're in universities, they're in Washington, D.C., they are in major corporations. So it's totally ubiquitous. And I mean, the amount of control that they have now in Washington, D.C., I would say is probably second to none. You know, people talk about the Israel lobby or the Saudi Arabia lobby. The communist Chinese lobby is the one that's not talked about, but it is far more powerful than you can even imagine.
Yeah. What are just briefly some of the real connections with the Biden family themselves?
Well, I think at this point, everybody who has been paying attention to real news and not the fake news has probably heard the audio clip that was recovered from Hunter Biden's laptop, where he talks about how he went into a business partnership. I won't use his colorful language, but, you know, cuss word, the spy chief of China. Now, that was overstating it just a little bit, but he was a very, very senior intelligence operative in communist China's massive espionage machine. So obviously, we know Joe Biden, the big guy, was getting 10% cut from these things. So Biden and numerous people in the Biden administration have very close ties to the communist Chinese government. And unfortunately, even during the Trump administration, there was some of this, right? Elaine Chao, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, she was chosen to serve as Secretary of Transportation. I understand Trump did that because that's Mitch McConnell's wife and he wanted help getting some of his better people through the Senate. But one of the things she did while she was serving as Transportation Secretary was help steer lots and lots of money to her family empire, which, of course, is communist Chinese. So this control, this network is just absolutely ubiquitous in the United States. And it's not just the United States. It's even worse in a lot of Western European countries.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. They are so faithful. It's one thing I admire about communists. They are so committed, so faithful, so persistent, so just committed to, we're doing this. Here's our plan. I don't care if it takes 1,000 years, we're doing it. And our side, it's hard to get them to pay attention for a month or something. Hey, there's an election in 2 months. Can you just come out and do something? But that's just a good lesson in life. When we have the truth, if we had a tenth of the level of commitment to spreading it, standing for it, educating others with it, and everything else, we wouldn't have half the problems we have today. But their commitment, I've just been shocked when reading biographies of people in the you know 30s and 40s that were communists in America, and how committed they were when they were not seeing much victory, many things going on, but. Boy, they're committed. What is a little bit on in the technology and military sector, what ways are we selling out to them through technology, but through military secrets or having some of their technology involved in our military things, which makes it very vulnerable to sabotage and things?
Yeah, at this point, I can say with a high degree of confidence that virtually every military secret of the United States, including all of our most important defense contractors, is now in the possession of the communist Chinese. That doesn't mean that they can build everything we can build yet. They need to get their people trained. But all the secrets, all the technology, they have it. And they've got a lot of different ways that they're getting this. You know, part of it is through espionage. I mean, they've got their people winnowed into our government. They've got them working at the defense contractors, et cetera. And then we, stupidly, if you believe this is stupidity, I don't believe that for a second. As James Forrestal said, this was merely stupidity. Every once in a while, they'd make a mistake in our favor. But we now have a military that is essentially dependent on communist China. We cannot keep a lot of our Air Force jets in the sky without components made in communist China. Many of these components have back doors that will allow the communist Chinese to shut them off or burn them up when they are most needed. And in many respects, I would say that the communist Chinese now have some technologies that are probably more advanced than what the U.S. government has. You know, we've seen now some of their testing with hypersonic missiles. We've seen some of what they can do with space. And this could not have occurred without deliberate treason. And I think treason is the only appropriate word to use here. We mentioned Bill Clinton in the last episode, last segment. This came out. This was public. I mean, this was a scandal called ChinaGate, and they swept it under the rug as quickly as they could. And, you know, they want us to focus on the perjury and the sexual immorality. And those are serious. Those are crimes. He obviously should have been impeached and removed for such a disgusting, grotesque spectacle. But even more significant than that was the betrayal of his country. And all of this is public record now. Johnny Chung got busted funneling illegal campaign contributions from communist China into the coffers of the DNC, and then in exchange, the Clinton administration gave the communist Chinese all of the military secrets they could ever want, and then some. And again, this was public. I quoted Admiral Moore, Admiral Thomas Moore, who was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, on public record. He said to my colleague at the New American, William Jasper, they gave the communist Chinese access to our most sensitive military secrets. And then you add to that, you know, our commercial secrets, right? All these American companies that are running over the cliff like lemmings. Oh, we want to do business in China. We want to do business in China. Well, when you go do business in China, you enter into a joint venture with the communist Chinese mass murdering dictatorship. And when you go into business with the communist Chinese murderous dictatorship, all of your intellectual property is shared with them. All of your trade secrets are shared with them. So everything that American companies have, they have it too. They can manufacture a lot of it cheaper than we can because they've got endless armies of slaves. And, you know, this is it's hard to overstate the danger that we're in as a country as a result of this treason.
And then just briefly, give us a picture of what's going on in China today with the slave labor, with the abuse of different people groups, with the threat the average Chinese person feels by the intimidation of the surveillance and all the things that the government is doing against their own people.
Well, I think it's safe to say communist China is the government there is one of the most barbarous governments that has ever existed in human history. Until very recently, they were slaughtering hundreds of millions of unborn babies in forced abortions. I mean, this is savagery on a scale that, you know, even the most wild pagans of Scandinavia couldn't have imagined 1500 years ago before the light of the gospel came to Scandinavia. I mean, it is absolutely inhuman. It's diabolical. It's demonic. It's satanic. And so they operate these huge networks of concentration camps all over the country. And in those concentration camps, they put political dissidents, they put Christians, they put Falun Gong practitioners, they put Muslims. Anyone whose God is anything other than the Communist Party of China is going to be squashed like a bug if they cannot be coerced into complying through other mechanisms. But now one of the things that I think is most concerning about it is they want to move away from the kind of brute tyranny where they'll just bash your face in if you don't cooperate. And they want to move to a system where the slaves will police themselves and they won't even dare to act out because it would destroy their life. And so years ago, I think I had one of the first articles about this, and people didn't believe me when it came out, the social credit system that they were implementing, the Chinese companies in collaboration with the government, where every slave in China now, and by slave, I mean, you know, the people who live there, gets a social credit score. And it takes into account all kinds of things. I mean, do you pay your mortgage on time? Do you jaywalk? Does your phone stay charged, right? Apparently you get deducted points if you don't keep your phone charged. I don't know if that shows how responsible you are, but you really get points dinged off you if you question the government, if you have friends or family who question the government, if you don't do exactly what you're told with a big fat smile on your face, your score goes down. And so what this, and they begin this in school, right? They see, all right, which of these children are going to be most obedient? Which of them are going to be most passionate about serving the Communist Party? Which ones are going to be troublemakers? And then they get them on their own paths, right? This one might be a troublemaker. All right, then we'll make sure, you know, he can't ever be in any kind of position to influence anybody. Well, this one's going to be a loyal servant of the Communist Party. Good. Put him on the track to be a lawyer, a senior leader of the Communist Party, a teacher, a professor, whatever it is. So this system that they have developed, unfortunately, is being rolled out across the world, often under different names and, you know, oftentimes by the private sector, although we know now the line between the private sector and the government is very thin to non-existent. But so this system that they have, I think, is unimaginably Orwellian. And this is the model, folks. You know, this isn't just, well, it's happening in China, and that doesn't concern me. This is the model that they want to impose on everybody on the planet. And it's not just me saying that. You know, we have George Soros went on record 10 years ago saying publicly, Communist China has a better functioning government than the United States. And by the way, a better economy. He said that they should own the new world order in the same way that the United States owned the previous world order. So what's happening in China now is directly relevant to you and to your family and to your country, no matter where you're living.
And we need to be praying for those people over there. The Chinese people are wonderful people. I was just speaking in California a few weeks ago, and there's a large Chinese population there. And one of the ladies that came and to the church meeting was telling me, she goes, I live in a Chinese neighborhood, because we kind of grouped together. And she goes, many, many people in the neighborhood are members of the Communist Party. And she goes, many of them are friends of mine, and they have to read Chinese Communist propaganda 1 hour a day, or they are in trouble. So they keep track. I go, how would they keep track of that? She says, when they're looking at their phone, reading it, they can watch them from there. And I was like, and they have to be there every day reading whatever the current propaganda is for that day. But they're sweet people that are being abused by a system that is so evil, but it is the model for the world. It's the model for you, and it's the model for me. And that's why it's so important to understand it and then to stand against it. So I think we understand their history. We understand what they're doing on a small scale. There's 10 times more, like you said, that you could bring up. But it seems like we are creating a system also where we're just so dependent on them. Just the pharmaceutical issue, I think it's like 90%+ of the medications that we use in America are made over there. And then, of course, just all of the things that we use, as every last product goes over there to be made, doesn't that just present as great a danger as any military, where they could at some point say, we're cutting you off, where there would just be a collapse because the stores would be empty and things like that? Or to talk about that.
Yeah, that's exactly what would happen. And all of this is by design. They engineered a situation where we are now completely and totally dependent on Communist China for virtually everything. Yep, 90% or more of the precursor chemicals to make the pharmaceuticals that Americans have come to depend on are manufactured in China. And they actually threatened to pull that card during COVID. They literally said, hey, watch it, because we might stop sending pharmaceuticals to you. And this is true with virtually every sector of the economy. I mentioned we can't even keep a lot of our Air Force jets in the sky without Communist Chinese parts. Our telecommunications systems, our energy grid, all of it now is totally dependent on Communist China. This was engineered this way. They wanted it to work like this. And they basically have us in a vice grip now as Americans.
No, that's what it feels like. So, in wrapping up here, what really is China's long-range vision, strategy, and what will their role be in the New World Order?
Well, I think there's two schools of thought here. There's the school of thought that Communist China is going to own the world and that they're going to rule over all of humanity. I think on the surface, that's true. But I think we're missing the bigger picture. It's very much like the Soviet Union, right? A lot of Americans had that impression as well, that the Soviet Union was going to gradually keep expanding and take over the planet, as if that were an isolated phenomenon. Now, that's not to say that every senior member of the Communist Party views themselves as partners with or co-conspirators with the people at the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Bohemian Grovers, and the Skull and Bones guys. Many of them, I think they're going to come out on top. They're probably laughing at these Bilderbergers. they think that they control us. Little do they know, we're going to put them up against the wall and shoot them when we take over. I mean, this is how these lunatics operate, and it's how they've always operated. When Stalin took the reins from Lenin, he exterminated the entire leadership of Lenin that was coming over, right? He ended up massacring most of his own deputies, okay? And so that's how these psychopaths work. But I think the real way to understand Communist China is as a tool of the same globalist, deep state, diabolical cabal that sold Russia into communist slavery, that sold Cuba into communist slavery. And many of them are headquartered right here in the United States. Many of them are headquartered in London. Many of them are headquartered in Switzerland or in Paris or in Berlin. So I think the ultimate objective is to use communist China to smash the United States. I think there's a very real prospect that we will end up in a kinetic war with the communist Chinese. And there's a very real prospect that we will lose it. And when I say we, I mean the United States government, the American people. There's a lot of evidence to indicate that they are, as we speak, planning a potential land invasion. And so I think that's a very real prospect. But ultimately, the idea that the Communist Party of China is going to run the New World Order, I think that's foolish. I think that's naive. I think really what we're dealing with here, it's beyond human ingenuity. I think you have to go to the scripture to see what's really happening here. This is powers. This is principalities. This is spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's how it could be so coordinated and so intelligent and so evil, right? So barbarous, so sick. So I think Marxism and communism need to be seen not as economic ideologies. I think that's a very naive way to look at this. And I think that's the way they want us to look at it. But I think ultimately it's satanic. I think if you really want to understand this, get a copy of the book Marx and Satan. It was written by Pastor Richard Birnbrandt. And what he'll show you is that this is not an economic ideology. It's not even an ideology at all. It is satanic. It is from the pit of hell. And even just by looking at the fruit, you should be able to see that. Everywhere that this ideology is put into place, we see starvation, we see gulags, we see mass death, we see persecution of the church. So just the fruit should make that obvious. But the evidence that Marx was a hater of God and had actually thrown in his lot with Satan is overwhelming. You just read his poetry. I mean, Marx's poetry makes very clear that he views himself as an ally of Satan. He was not an atheist. He was a Satanist. So I think when you realize that this is satanic and you put that in the context of the Bible, you see what's happening here for what it really is. This is not just a geopolitics issue. It's not an issue of foreign policy. This is an issue of good versus evil. This is Satan and demonic forces waging war on God, waging war on God's people, waging war on God's orders and commands and laws and system of morality. And once you see it through that lens, you realize God is our only answer. Right? There's no military solution to this. There's no political solution to this. God is the only answer. Jesus Christ is the only solution.
He's the one that made America great to begin
right.
with, because the people said, "We want you to be our God." And he said, "I will." And as he always will, when people humble themselves and they turn from their wicked ways and they submit to him repentantly, he is so long-suffering and so merciful and so kind to forgive 1,000 wrongs and to bless. And we do need that. So what's along with praying, along with repenting ourselves so we're not part of the problem, and along with standing for the truth and teaching our children and being generationally faithful to the truth, what are some other things maybe that you've come across that people could do right where they are with what they have to try to make a difference and stand against this great evil?
Brilliant question. And, the Communist Chinese Party actually knows the source of America's greatness. They did a study on this, and they concluded that the reason America was such a powerful, great nation was because of Christianity, because of our profound faith in God, in God's word, in the Lord Jesus Christ. They recognized that that's why America was so powerful, and they recognized that's what they had to target if they wanted to take America down. And so I would encourage you, there are political things we should be doing, there are military things we should be doing, and all that's important. I don't want to minimize it, but far more important than that is we as a nation, we must turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ. We as families, we as individuals, we must resubmit and rededicate ourselves to God. And with that will then come the renewed strength that you only get by being faithful and obedient to God. We need a regeneration of our morals. We need to turn back to the morality that God revealed to us in his word, the laws that he wrote on our heart. We need to rededicate ourselves to that and strengthen our family, right? All of the institutions that made America great, first of all, they're divinely ordained, right? God is the one who invented family. God is the one who ordained family. So we need to stop the collapsing of our families. We need to stop the epidemic of divorce and single-parent households. And we need to get back to you know, a proper understanding of morality. And that, more than anything else, I think, would strengthen our country, would put us back on a powerful footing. As far as the political and the military aspects, you know, I think one of the most important things that we need to do is we need to stop acting like this group of gangsters and mass murderers in Beijing is a legitimate government. It's not. It's a group of gangsters and mass murderers. We shouldn't be recognizing it. We shouldn't be dealing with it as if it were a legitimate government. We shouldn't be making concessions. We shouldn't be allowing its operatives to run institutions that have sway over policy in the United States. I think we should get out of the United Nations. It is completely controlled by communist Chinese and other communist and subversive forces that are hostile to everything that our nation stands for. I think we need to, first of all, reacquaint ourselves with the principles that our nation was founded on. These principles are biblical, and they are critical to ensuring that America can continue into the future. Principles like what our founding fathers said in the Declaration of Independence. It's a self-evident truth that God created us, right? Start right there. Super basic fact. You didn't come from slime over billions of years through a series of bizarre accidents and coincidences. You were created by God. And start from that foundational principle. And then what flows from that? Well, if you were created by God, God makes the rules. What kind of rules did God make? God said murder is wrong. So you have a right to life. God said government needs to punish evil. That means government must punish murder because God said don't murder. God gave you a right to property. He said don't steal. So these principles that our founding fathers took from the Bible and distilled into documents to govern our nation, we need to reacquaint ourselves with those. We need to recommit ourselves to those. We need to pass them on to the coming generations, to our children and our grandchildren. And you know, you mentioned it, but I'll say it again. We need to pray like our lives and our freedom and our country depend on it, because they do.
That's right. No, it's and people listening, I know sometimes when you hear topics like this, it's very sobering, and it should be. But as you study world history, Bible history, so many times when you're in that position where you're up against the Red Sea and there literally is nothing you can do, God puts us there purposefully. So we'll say, God, help us. And then he's happy to go, okay, I just was waiting for you to say that. I'll part the Red Sea. But we have to have been pleasing to him, faithful to him, and consistent in living what we say we believe and modeling it to our children and grandchildren. And so don't be discouraged by this. Be encouraged. God might be putting us in this position of complete helplessness because he loves us and wants us to get on our knees and say, please help us and get serious about doing the things we say we believe and acting like we really are Christians and we really love this country and doing the things that are a blessing to it. But Alex, I appreciate you so much and always learn so much from you. What's the best way for people to get a hold of you and be in touch with you if they need to be, but also get some of your books and things to better understand what's going on?
Well, first of all, thank you so much, Curtis, for having me on the program. I love your show. Your movies are just extraordinary. They've opened so many eyes across this country. So it's truly an honor to be here with you. And I want to add just a little bit to what you said, because I think you hit the nail on the head, and I want to leave people encouraged. You know, go back in Scripture, and you will find no matter how bad the situation looked, if God chooses to intervene, it doesn't matter what the enemy has, it's over, right? God dispatched one angel when enemy armies came against his people, and that one angel slaughtered 185,000 enemy soldiers. God used Gideon and 300 men to crush the Midianite army that had come against God's people. So, you know, it's not going to come down to do we have the biggest guns and the rest of it. You know, that stuff's important, but ultimately it's going to come down to God. And God can crush evil, can crush any enemy effortlessly. So don't despair. Just throw yourself at God's mercy, and that's where our hope needs to be, not in princes, not in militaries, not in anything else, only in God. So where to find me? Thank you so much, Curtis. My personal website is libertysentinel.org. You can find a lot of my stuff there. If you're interested in getting any of my books or DVDs, I've got some of them for sale there. You go to libertysentinel.org/shop, and you can get books, DVDs, and some other things that I have there. Also, I'm senior editor at the New American Magazine. A lot of my work on China has appeared in the New American. You can find that at thenewamerican.com. There you go. Great magazine.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It really is. And, you know, the New American's been sounding the alarm literally since when I was born. The New American was established in 1985, and they've been sounding the alarm about these things for all that time. I wish more people had listened, but it's never too late. I also contribute to the Epoch Times, which incidentally was founded by anti-communist dissident Chinese who fled from China and are now determined to expose this group of gangsters and mass murderers. I write a lot about China in there, so you can see that. And then on the education front, I serve as executive director at Public School Exit. You can find us at publicschoolexit.com. We just want to help parents and churches to protect our children from the wickedness that's coming from the public schools. And thanks again, Curtis. God bless you. Thanks for all that you do.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate it.